I'm John Aran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning, folks. We are here live at the Caesars Casino. We are right outside the Octavia Lounge. The place is absolutely stunning. Every time I walk into this facility, I'm completely and totally amazed by the transformation that has occurred here. Over $435 million invested in this structure with the new hotel, the re-engineering, remaking, the refacing of the casino as well, from the Harrah's look to the Caesars look. And I got to tell you, the Caesars look is absolutely stunning. Everything in here is so just impeccably fitted. It's all open, higher ceilings. You can see literally clear across the casino here for the first time ever. It wasn't chopped up like it was with Harrah's. I'm sitting all the way on one end of the casino. I'm looking across the casino through the Octavia Lounge into the sports book. I can actually see the screens, and I'm probably, I don't know, 400-500 feet away, maybe. And I mean, it's hard to describe. Well worth a chance to come down here and see this incredible transformation. So many amenities as well. It's really just not about gaming any longer here. And we're going to have a chance to spend some time with three New Orleans boys, that men that are actually running this operation here, which is incredible. Miles Tully, Caesars Hotel Vice President of Hospitality, will be joining us at 12:30. Kennedy Smith, the Marketing VP here at Caesars, another New Orleans boy. And Samir Moad, otherwise known as Sammy. He is the hotel GM and Senior Vice President. I have to say, he's a Jesuit grad, something that I'm proud of, and he's the head of this facility here. All three homegrown New Orleans boys running Caesars. And you know, the interesting thing about what's going on here, the influence in New Orleans on the Caesars organization. So many folks that migrate through here gain opportunities at other Caesars properties throughout the country, and we're actually putting our print on the gaming industry from the perspective of New Orleans people, making a difference in this organization. And that's something to be proud of for sure. And we'll talk a lot about what you're going to see and expect here at Caesars as they make this final push to get everything completed. We have a big, heavy tourist season coming up. In fact, Walt Leger is going to join us here shortly at 10:30. He's going to be here with me live. In fact, I just saw him walk up. We'll also have Michael Heck will be here with us as well in the 11 o'clock hour. And we'll have an opportunity to talk about the impact of this, what it means as it relates to competition of the hospitality industry. You're going to be surprised to hear, too, about how Caesars as an organization has incorporated themselves into this local community and how many folks they've actually partnered with. It's not just about Caesars, and you're going to be surprised to hear what they've actually done and how they've gone about to accomplish that, to really bring in the culture, the flavor of the city of New Orleans with so many different other amenities, restaurants, tourist attractions and things of that nature in partnership with the Caesars organization here. So really invested in making this city a phenomenal experience for the traveling public that come here and for the locals as well. In fact, it's going to be a lot easier to get in and out of this facility in the very near future. A lot of good things happening here, and I think you're going to be completely and totally amazed by the transformation. I had the opportunity a couple of weeks back to dine at Nobu. And if you've not been to a Nobu experience, you definitely want to go to a Nobu and have that experience. This place, the restaurant, is stunning. It's absolutely beautiful. You can see out over the casino floor. It was really a lot of fun, and I want to thank the Caesars organization for hosting us. We had a great time, and you will as well. And they have been doing very, very well there, too. So we'll talk a little bit about that as well. I did want to promote WWL a little bit this morning and stay away from some of the hard news and just talk about something that's very important, I think, to you and to others. And you'll understand in just a second when I mention it. So there's been this move afoot by car manufacturers to eliminate AM radio in electric vehicles. According to them, they say it causes the electric vehicle causes interference to the AM band, and therefore they want to abandon the AM band totally in electric vehicles, not in internal combustion engines. There's a bill that's been introduced, and it's called the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act. And it's sitting on the agenda in Congress. We would love to have that bill move through the process before we get to the Christmas break or the election break, I should say. There are a lot of things that need to fall in place, but we have a lot of support on that legislation, and we actually need your help. If you could call your U.S. Senator, your U.S. Representative, tell them about it. For us, it's critically important. If you think back to the days in the aftermath of Katrina, and the fact that the only connection that you had while traveling from point A to point B or evacuating or otherwise was a strong AM signal of local radio that can hit 12 to 15 states during the day and maybe as many as 30 states at night depending on the atmospheric conditions that are present. And I've heard from so many people with each and every event, hurricane event, bad weather event or otherwise that we've had, that their only connection to the city was WWL radio because of the strength of their signal. FM radio does not have the same strength. It's a different technology. It works differently. The way the towers function are vastly different. They don't have the signal footprint that AM radio has. So I know that we are going to be advancing and electric vehicles are on the forefront. And this is not a knock on electric vehicles. It's not. It really isn't. What this is about a lost opportunity. The opportunity to be informed. The opportunity to have the most current and relevant information. What's going on both pre-storm, during the storm, post-storm. And you don't have to think very far back in your mind to recall that was your only connection to this city. There are not many live local radio stations any longer. They don't exist like they once did. And one of the reasons that it's so important to our community is that it still exists here. And we're giving out that information live over the radio band. You can pick it up at the hotel that you're in, hundreds of miles away from the city of New Orleans. You may still have family that's back home during the event and not able to get out of town, and there's an interest. I just think back to Ida, of what was going on in St. Charles Parish. Real time. We had people calling into the radio as they were climbing into their attic. And the only communication that we had with a lot of folks of emergency response and otherwise in that parish and throughout the river region was over the air, on radio. People had lost power. They were listening to their battery-operated radios in their homes with a pickaxe going up in the attic. And, you know, in many occasions, we were able to direct individuals to help and assist. These are the things that we so sometimes easily forget about the impact of radio each and every day. Most of the current information relative to both AM radio and FM radio is that still over 70% of adults get their news every day from radio. A lot of people, think it's a dying medium. It's anything but that. The fact of the matter is the most convenient time to listen to what you are the most interested in is when? If you're smart and you're not texting while you're driving, right, you're listening to radio. And you're catching the snippets of information that are so critical to what you're doing day in and day out. We're bringing current, relevant news, breaking news, traffic reports, weather reports, and the list goes on and on and on. So just a little plea for your assistance. The AM radio for every vehicle act, if you have a chance to reach out to your congressperson, your U.S. senators, let them know about your feelings, about making sure that we preserve the sanctity of AM radio into our future. So that's enough of that. We appreciate you listening to that, and we will be right back. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Talk and Text line. We are broadcasting live from Caesars, and we've got a great lineup for you today. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
I'm John Aran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, folks. We are joined by the president and CEO of New Orleans and Company, Walt Leger, who comes on the show quite frequently, and we appreciate that as well because he's really got his finger on the pulse of the hospitality and tourism industry, understands the entire machinations of how this works and the impact that it has on our local economy, right? So thank you so much for coming and joining us live today.
It's nice to actually be able to lay eyes on you while we're talking. It's great.
Exactly. So when we talk about the Caesars brand, for you guys, what does that mean to you?
It was exciting for me personally as a local and certainly for our industry when they announced that they were going to be rebranding. I mean, the Caesars brand is a luxury brand.
Right.
Respected, known, recognized, celebrated, and I think we all believe that we deserve the best here in our community, and it's wonderful to have them sort of putting their best foot forward at a really strong, powerful entertainment company like Caesars to put their stamp on New Orleans in that way. I think is a really great thing. Their commitment at the Superdome has been amazing as well, and keeps it at that level of excellence, I think, and it opens us up to new customers. I think they're just, frankly, I think there are just customers out there that were not interested in visiting the Harrah's Casino and Hotel here in New Orleans, but they're very interested in visiting the Caesars Hotel and Casino in New Orleans, and that, I think it's going to pay dividends for the whole community.
Yeah, you don't have to take 10 steps into this facility to recognize the difference,
right? It's a different place.
In the presentation, right?
It's a different place, and I think it's the other thing is when you think about just economic opportunity and growth in our community, when a major, major international company like that puts this amount of money in your community and says we want to double down on the investments we've already made, it's a stamp of approval. And I think the rest of the corporate world pays attention to that and people see it, and it leads to other investments and other leveraging.
Over $435 million invested in this facility. We don't have many projects of that number, that magnitude, that size.
When you think about where we are at the foot of Canal and Poydras, basically, $450 million here. It's a huge deal, but also major investment across the street at the Four Seasons development. I mean, there is a lot of a new renovation over at the Audubon Aquarium. I mean, right. More than $1 billion worth of investment in the last couple of years alone. This is going to continue to, in my mind, to become a real focal point for residents and visitors to enjoy the riverfront, to access it, and to have access to these really high-end luxury properties with incredible restaurants and new additions. You know, I mean, it's not just Caesars, it's Nobu. You know, they've got the hotel within the hotel, a whole nother level of luxury product for our community and for visitors to benefit from. You know, Emeralds has got a new restaurant in here. I mean, the quality is just continuing to be enhanced.
Yeah, Nina Compton, Bobby Flay.
Yeah, the list goes world on class, and on. World class. And
so when you think, I mean, you travel a lot, you interact with a lot of folks because this is a very intense, competitive business, right? Cities this size, I don't know of a city this size that has this.
No, there aren't any. No, I mean, frankly, there's no other city like New Orleans.
Right.
We know
right.
that. I mean, we're unique and special, and we certainly talk a lot about how we punch above our weight class, but there's nothing like this in a city of comparable size. Frankly, not many cities of any size have the kind of amenities that we have here. In fact, we've been doing our own sort of research. There are more restaurants per capita in New Orleans than in New York City.
Really?
Yeah, you know, I mean, we love our food here. We know that. But certainly our residents alone can't support that. And that's why it's so important that we continue to be a place where people want to host major events and conferences, conventions, and come here and spend their dollars in a way that enhances our community, supports our businesses, supports our working people. It's an amazing city. We know that. But but certainly we have amenities that other communities don't. And I think it adds to the quality of life dramatically here. Seen some studies recently that say New Orleans has the best work-life balance anywhere in America. I think we can agree that there's a lot of fun to be had here. Sometimes people think maybe we should do a little more work and a little less life, but it is that balance is great here, and it accrues to the benefit of the people who live here 365, and certainly for those people who want to spend 3 or 4 days, they get to enjoy it too.
When you get to my age, well, you want a little more leisure and a little less work.
I think we all do. For me, my leisure right now is going to soccer games, piano recitals, and dance recitals.
Yeah.
So it's pretty much work.
Been there, done that. Understand totally. Wouldn't trade it, though, for anything
not at
in
all.
The world.
Not at all.
So you've had an opportunity now. Part of this facility has been renovated, you know, many, many months ago and, you know, a year ago. This has been a process for them. And I'm sure you've started to hear from convention folks about what they were seeing here. What would be a typical reaction that they would have articulated?
Well, you know, so, I mean, let's go back 2 years, and you may have a very successful event in our city, which we generally have. They have great attendance, but they also have some comments towards the end. Hey, a lot of potholes here. Why is the stoplight blinking on Poitras Street, and are they going to fix that? Because we came for a site visit 6 months ago, it was blinking, and now we're here for the event, and it's still blinking. You know, homelessness, vagrancy challenges, public safety challenges. I mean, those things are changing dramatically and quickly. And so what we're hearing now on site visits and on people who are having successful events is thrilled to see a lot of these road projects, thrilled to see the investment happening. I know for us, it can be a little inconvenient. But for those visitors and for those planners who are planning major events into the future, I think they're certainly grateful to see the progress. And I think it makes our team feel better because we've been pitching that the progress is coming. It's great to really see it come into fruition and really quality advances on the city's engagement with the homelessness population and closing encampments and actually getting people housed and services that they need. Public safety, you know, I think that the data speaks for itself. It doesn't mean everything, but it means a positive, you know, positive momentum in the right direction. So we're getting really positive feedback from people. Look, just during Francine last week, we had 20 different groups in town at hotels throughout the community with about 16,000 people attending. Most of those meetings just went on without a hitch.
Right.
You know, they were inside of the Hilton Hotel or the Sheraton or Marriott, and they just met. Had their conference and convention. They maybe weren't able to get out as much as they would have liked, but they successfully accomplished their meeting and with high quality. And so that speaks a lot to the level of professionalism our team delivered. Also, though, the infrastructure held up.
Yeah, absolutely. But specifically about Caesars, what do you hear?
Oh, I mean, it's an endorsement of the city. It's a major endorsement of the city. We hear people say they can't recognize the place. It's a whole new level of service and accommodation. I think that they're looking at it as a potential site for future meetings and events, whereas that hasn't always been the case. And I think they're even noticing that there are potential partnerships that can be had with different properties around the city where they can utilize this space to host events or to have people. We're doing a major media visit for the Super Bowl in the next couple of weeks. 20 international media people are coming in for a familiarization tour of the city. Caesars offered to host them here. And so what better place than to put them at the newest, shiniest attraction? And I'm excited to see what they say. I think they're going to be very, very impressed with the upgrades that have happened. So, I mean, glowing endorsements of it. But also, I think even subconsciously, it just elevates the city.
No, absolutely. Obviously, we are getting closer and closer and closer now to the Taylor Swift dates.
Yeah. Huge.
And I guess the momentum, you can kind of feel it. You can feel the energy. I know my granddaughter's talking about it more.
I bet. I got, like I've told you, I have 6 and 8 year old daughters. So we.
So you're
that
all
is
in.
Our life. That is our life right now.
Yeah. So, I mean, the chatter's rising?
Yeah, well, look, we're thrilled. We've been working with our members and partners, and we're trying to gather as much information about things that will be happening around the community. So if you're listening and you've got something that you're planning, please reach out to us at New Orleans & Company so that we can help you promote that and make sure that people know about it. We want to make sure that when Taylor Swift arrives, that our city shows up the way that it always does, which is world-class and bigger than it appears. We know there are going to be some great celebrations and parties around it. We have people really excited about friendship bracelet stations and special menus and different things happening. We just want to elevate all that because we want every major concert like this to put New Orleans on the list. But this is the rates that hotels are demanding for this event rival any event that we've ever seen in the city. Super Bowl, you name it. The demand is just extremely high. We're really excited to see what happens. I mean, there is not another city in the world that can talk about hosting three iconic worldwide events in a six-month period. When you've got Taylor Swift in October, Super Bowl in February, and Mardi Gras right after it, you know, I mean, there just isn't any other place that maybe can do that, but there's certainly not another place that is doing it. And so it's a great opportunity for us, but also very distinct events, but iconic nonetheless.
This opportunity, three successive nights, are there any other cities in the U.S. on the tour that are going to have that?
I think on the first leg there were a couple, I believe that there may be one other city, maybe Miami or something.
Right.
But I mean, these three nights are, I mean, the demand is as high every night as it is every other night. I mean, it's
right.
It's an amazing accomplishment, and it's exciting to see how many people are traveling from so many different places to try to be a part of it. You know, Taylor Swift recorded three of the songs on her latest album here in New Orleans last year. And so, we've already carved out a little bit of a place in that world, and it'll be exciting to put another stamp on it. Certainly, we hope it's not the last time that she comes to visit us. And I'm certain that with the reception she's going to get, she'll want to come back sometime soon.
Are you sure you're not a Taylor Swift?
Oh, I'm a Swiftie.
Yeah. You're a Swiftie? Because you know a lot of information.
My daughter calls me a Swiftie dad. Hey, look, I'd have to be an idiot if I wasn't picking up on this stuff. I mean, it's on 24/7. I mean, it's everything. We've got some amazing team members at New Orleans & Company, too, who are really dedicated fans. And the work that they've been doing to try to make this special, it's just exciting to see. I mean, the level of commitment and fandom is off the charts.
Yeah.
Never seen anything like it.
It's really a phenomenon. I mean, it truly
made
is.
Football fans out of my daughters, too. I mean, they loved watching the Bengals Chiefs game. I was watching Joe Burrow. They were waiting for clips of Taylor Swift in the stands.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it is, there's no question it's a phenomenon. And of course, New Orleans should be a part of that. And we're fortunate that we are.
Absolutely. We got to get to a break. We're visiting with Walt Leger, president and CEO of New Orleans & Company. We're broadcasting live here at Caesars. You got to get by here and see this place. I think, and there's still stuff that they're doing. I mean, the gaming space is going to expand because they just kind of opened up some areas that construction is given back to them now, and they're going to be bringing in all kinds of new machines and new this and new that. And
some great views of the river. I mean, it's a really fascinating facility.
The openness, huh? I mean, I was saying earlier, we're sitting on the complete other side of the casino, and we can see the sports book.
Well, the sports book is going to continue to be popular. I'm looking forward. They tell me that Octavia's opening this week.
Friday.
I mean, I can't imagine what that's going to be like for the Saints-Eagles game this weekend. It's going to be a lot of fun here.
Big-time game for sure. I will be in that number. Looking forward to it.
Absolutely.
All right, we'll be right back, folks. Stay with us. Welcome back, folks. We're here at Caesars, right outside the Octavia Lounge. And, Walt, if you hang around, we're going to be able to partake of the spirits a little bit.
Oh, yeah? I might hang around.
In a couple hours. And they're also going to let us taste a little bit of from Nobu, too.
So. Well, hey. Now you're talking.
Now you're talking.
I'm sure I could go sit over there and do some work for a little while.
Let's talk a little bit about the airline industry.
Sure.
And what's going on. Tommy Tucker had an expert on earlier today talking about the Boeing strike. We just heard about Breeze pushing back some of their flights because of the unavailability of planes. Actual physical new planes rolling out, not there. Concerns in the industry?
Big picture, I think concerns are there. You probably heard, and we were following throughout the pandemic and during that time frame, there happened to be a lot of orders coming in for new planes. And then, of course, what you had was a lot of airline pilots retiring. And so that caused upheaval as things started ramping back up. So, I mean, the industry's been in a really challenging period for the last several years for different reasons. Another reason that these new planes are so important is that the trend across the world is a push towards more sustainable jet fuel and more sustainable travel options. And so they require new planes to be able to do that. You're not going to do that with an old plane. And so certainly the availability has become a challenge. And I guess that's probably the reason why you've got these labor issues that have sprung up, because they've realized that there's some leverage there. The demand is high for the new planes, and they're taking advantage of that. I hope they work all their issues out and everybody gets back to a place where they're producing again. We certainly could use it. Here in New Orleans, air travel continues to perform very well. The airport continues to do well. I'm in a lot of airports. Airports are challenging places. There are a lot of tough things happening everywhere. I think we should be proud of what we got. Doesn't mean it's perfect by any stretch, and we're always working to improve various aspects of it. But we've got a good product there. It's staying very busy. I am certain that in the near future, there will have to be some more talks about additional expansion and more terminals and things like that. It's getting to be capacity, and hopefully the airlines that are here will continue to add flights for us. They're doing that for special events now and for major conferences, and I think that's just going to continue. But stability in the industry is important. Travel continues to go up, and internationally and domestically, there really doesn't appear to be much of a slowdown. People want to have those experiences, and that's where they're spending their money.
Because that kind of sets a tone for the whole thing from the very beginning, right? Is the ease of the process, ease of administration in getting here, right?
Look, this is something that I think nationally our country needs to be very focused on. And we, as an industry, have been pushing the federal government to make the investments that are needed in technology. Safe and secure and seamless travel is what people want. And that's why people are paying extra for things like Clear and other products that make it easier to move through. Everyone recognizes that safety is paramount. However, with the technology that's available, some of the delays, and I mean, really, the concept that we're still taking shoes off when you go through secure, I mean, it's just kind of, it's a little bit head-scratching. As other countries have advanced a long way, utilizing technology to ensure safe travel, we absolutely believe that safety should be paramount, but we also believe that technology can help make that easier. And the easier we can make it for people to travel and connect, the better it is for the economy, and I think just frankly, the better it is for people in general. The freedom to travel is something that people in the United States value very much. And the ability to do that is something that didn't exist 100 years ago. It's become commonplace today. And we've got to keep advancing technologically to just make it easier and more seamless.
It also, though, highlights the balance that you guys attempt to have with the driving folks, you know, the tourists that come here by vehicle, right?
Sure. Yeah, look, a lot of our visitors are coming regionally, and probably the majority. They're coming in from, you know, Texas and Mississippi and Alabama and Florida and beyond. And they're the important base of all that we do. So, you know, auto travel is important. Continuing to upgrade those systems and finding other modes of transportation to move people in and out is important. Just read this morning a new luxury bus service that'll bring people between Nashville and Atlanta. That's something we'd like to be a part of at some point. I mean, that's particularly important for international travelers who are wanting to come to the country and see multiple cities and do that in an easy way and not have to go through airports all the time to be able to make that happen. So we're obviously always on the look for new options to connect people. And New Orleans is on a lot of international travelers' lists. We need to make it as easy as possible for them to get here. Fortunate to have this direct flight with British Airways from London Heathrow to here. It continues to perform extremely well. It's very balanced with the number of people leaving here to go there and leaving London to come back over to see us. So we're excited about that. We'd love to see more options come for people.
Yeah, absolutely. In the not-too-distant future, NOLA by NOLA starts September 26th. I mean, that's just right around the corner.
Be here before we know it. This is an event that I think I've really come to respect and love each year. I mean,
y'all have made a significant investment in that from the very beginning.
It was a big lift by us early on, and you know, I think we spotted, along with others, the need for something in this time period. We were particularly looking at the fact that if you recall, we were going to have a special jazz fest at this time,
right?
And then that kind of had to get scrapped. And we thought, what are the local musicians going to do, and what are the clubs going to do that rely on that, you know, spillover effect after Jazz Fest? And so we invested pretty heavily, and we continue to partner heavily with the folks at NOLA by NOLA. That is kicking off on the 26th of September and run for about 10 days through October 2nd. Tons of events all over the city at venues in every neighborhood, and ultimately a lot of opportunities for musicians to show what they can do. And for us, we've grabbed it and said, we're not only going to celebrate NOLA by NOLA, we're going to designate October as Music Month in New Orleans, just as a way of elevating it to the world and talking about it in a way that gives us some additional amplification. I mean, I think everyone knows New Orleans is an incredible music city, but this gives us a chance to kind of, in an organized way, talk about how special it is. And we're going to keep trying to build some events around that. So it kicks off with NOLA by NOLA and then leads into some other things throughout the month. And the weather starts getting better. You know, I mean, it's just a great time of year.
Well, you know, obviously it has an impact because we have others trying to steal it from us, right?
Yeah.
You know,
absolutely.
Austin, Nashville,
absolutely.
You know, everything.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, there's no question. I mean, I think we all know that music's a powerful thing.
Right.
I mean, it triggers memories. It's an emotional thing, and it definitely adds to the soundtrack of your visit. You know, I mean, people have an expectation that they're going to enjoy that when they're in our city, and we're fortunate that we can deliver on that promise. And we're going to keep highlighting and elevating that. We're very proud of the people that make New Orleans a music city, and have worked really hard to try to elevate each and every one of those individuals and create opportunity for them going forward.
And Caesars has, you know, created a relationship with Live Nation here. They have the Fillmore.
Right.
Once these renovations are done in this facility, you'll be able to enter the Fillmore from within the facility, as opposed to what's been going on thus far, where you have to enter from Canal Street. But I know with a lot of the events coming up in the city, they're going to have major, major talent that's going to be performing there.
Oh, yeah. I've started to hear about some of that. And, I mean, the events that they'll have throughout the rest of the year, and then of course leading up to the Super Bowl, I mean, they're going to be amazing. You know, I mean, it's incredible. And I think it is a game changer to be able to enter from in here. You know, I mean, it makes
it a little bit
more like that that Vegas type experience where you're sort of able to enter a great venue from from inside, and that's going to be great for Caesars. I think it's great to have it for the city. You know, I mean, the Fillmore is an important asset.
A city this size, you don't typically see these kind of venues, right?
Right. I mean, you want as many venues as you can that are of varying sizes.
Yeah.
Because you don't want to miss out on any concert that's coming through, right? Whatever the scope of that is, if it's 1,500 and an intimate setting, then you want that. If it's 10,000, then you want that. You've got the Smoothie King Center for that. I actually think there's probably a place in between there where another venue could fit maybe 5,000 and would have a real niche where we'd pick up on some additional talent that maybe we're just not hitting right now because we don't necessarily have the right venue. But you want all those
things. Because the Sanger's what, about 3,200?
Yep. Yeah, so you've got great variation, and I think there's, if I was going to say anything, I think there's that 5,000 to 7,500 range where something coming online would really would hit a spot that we're missing right now and create more opportunity for people. But I mean, we do have the benefit of a lot of venues, and if we didn't, frankly, we wouldn't have the Super Bowl.
Right.
You know, I mean, there are a lot of things that allow you to get the Super Bowl, but you've got to be able to host hundreds of corporate sponsors and events and things happening all over the place, and there are times where that can be challenging for a city our size, but you've got to have those things. If you don't, then it gets bigger than you.
Right.
And so far, we continue to be big enough and deliver on the experience enough to be a major competitor. But everybody else is engaged in that competition too, and they continue to add. And we.
Welcome back, folks. We're here at Caesars, right outside the Octavia Lounge. And, Walt, if you hang around, we're going to be able to partake of the spirits a little bit.
Oh, yeah? I might hang around
in a couple hours, and they're also going to let us taste a little bit of from Nobu too. So.
Oh, hey! Now you're talking.
Now you're talking.
I'm sure I could go sit over there and do some work for a little while.
Let's talk a little bit about the airline industry.
Sure.
And what's going on. Tommy Tucker had an expert on earlier today talking about the Boeing strike. We just heard about Breeze pushing back some of their flights because of the unavailability of planes. You know, actual physical new planes rolling out, not there. Concerns in the industry? Or?
Yeah, I think, I mean, big picture, you know, I think concerns are there. You probably heard, and we were following throughout the pandemic and during that time frame, there happened to be a lot of orders coming in for new planes. And then, of course, what you had was a lot of airline pilots retiring. And so that caused upheaval as things started ramping back up. So, I mean, the industry's been very, I think, in a really challenging period for the last several years for different reasons. Another reason that these new planes are so important is that the trend across the world is a push towards more sustainable jet fuel and more sustainable travel options. And so they require new planes to be able to do that. You know, you're not going to do that with an old plane. And so certainly the availability has been become a challenge. And I guess that's probably the reason why you've got these labor issues that have sprung up, because they've realized that there's some leverage there. The demand is high for the new planes, and they're taking advantage of that. I hope they work all their issues out and everybody gets back to a place where they're producing again. We certainly could use it. Here in New Orleans, you know, air travel continues to perform very well. The airport continues to do well. I'm in a lot of airports. Airports are challenging places. There are a lot of tough things happening everywhere. And I think we should be proud of what we got. Doesn't mean it's perfect by any stretch, and we're always working to improve various aspects of it. But we've got a good product there. It's staying very busy. I am certain that in the near future, there will have to be some more talks about additional expansion and more terminals and things like that. It's getting to be capacity, and hopefully the airlines that are here will continue to add flights for us. They're doing that for special events now and for major conferences, and I think that's just going to continue. But stability in the industry is important. You know, I mean, travel continues to go up, and internationally and domestically. There really doesn't appear to be much of a slowdown. People want to have those experiences, and that's where they're spending their money.
Because that kind of sets the tone for the whole thing from the very beginning, right? Is the ease of the process, ease of administration in getting here, right?
Look, this is something that I think nationally our country needs to be very focused on, and we as an industry have been pushing the federal government to make the investments that are needed in technology. Safe and secure and seamless travel is what people want. And that's why people are paying extra for things like Clear and other products that make it easier to move through. Everyone recognizes that safety is paramount. However, with the technology that's available, some of the delays, and I mean, really, the concept that we're still taking shoes off when you go through secure, I mean, it's just kind of, it's a little bit head-scratching. As other countries have advanced a long way, utilizing technology to ensure safe travel, we absolutely believe that safety should be paramount, but we also believe that technology can help make that easier. And the easier we can make it for people to travel and connect, the better it is for the economy, and I think just frankly, the better it is for people in general. The freedom to travel is something that people in the United States value very much, and the ability to do that is something that didn't exist 100 years ago. It's become commonplace today, and we've got to keep advancing technologically to just make it easier and more seamless.
It also, though, highlights the balance that you guys attempt to have with the driving folks, you know, the tourists that come here by vehicle, right?
Sure. Yeah, look, a lot of our visitors are coming regionally, and probably the majority. They're coming in from, you know, Texas and Mississippi and Alabama and Florida and beyond. And they're the important base of all that we do. So, you know, auto travel is important. Continuing to upgrade those systems and finding other modes of transportation to move people in and out is important. Just read this morning a new luxury bus service that'll bring people between Nashville and Atlanta. That's something we'd like to be a part of at some point. I mean, that's particularly important for international travelers who are wanting to come to the country and see multiple cities and do that in an easy way and not have to go through airports all the time to be able to make that happen. So we're obviously always on the look for new options to connect people. And New Orleans is on a lot of international travelers' lists. We need to make it as easy as possible for them to get here. Fortunate to have this direct flight with British Airways from London Heathrow to here. It continues to perform extremely well. It's very balanced with the number of people leaving here to go there and leaving London to come back over to see us. So we're excited about that. We'd love to see more options come for people.
Yeah, absolutely. In the not-too-distant future, NOLA by NOLA starts September 26th. I mean, that's just right around the corner.
Be here before we know it. This is an event that I think I've really come to respect and love each year. I mean,
y'all have made a significant investment in that from the very beginning.
It was a big lift by us early on, and you know, I think we spotted, along with others, the need for something in this time period. We were particularly looking at the fact that if you recall, we were going to have a special jazz fest at this time,
right?
And then that kind of had to get scrapped. And we thought, what are the local musicians going to do, and what are the clubs going to do that rely on that, you know, spillover effect after Jazz Fest? And so we invested pretty heavily, and we continue to partner heavily with the folks at NOLA by NOLA. That is kicking off on the 26th of September and run for about 10 days through October 2nd. Tons of events all over the city at venues in every neighborhood, and ultimately a lot of opportunities for musicians to show what they can do. And for us, we've grabbed it and said, we're not only going to celebrate NOLA by NOLA, we're going to designate October as Music Month in New Orleans, just as a way of elevating it to the world and talking about it in a way that gives us some additional amplification. I mean, I think everyone knows New Orleans is an incredible music city, but this gives us a chance to kind of, in an organized way, talk about how special it is. And we're going to keep trying to build some events around that. So it kicks off with NOLA by NOLA and then leads into some other things throughout the month. And the weather starts getting better. You know, I mean, it's just a great time of year.
Well, you know, obviously it has an impact because we have others trying to steal it from us, right?
Yeah.
You know,
absolutely.
Austin, Nashville.
Absolutely.
Everything.
Yeah, I mean, there's no question. I mean, I think we all know that music's a powerful thing.
Right.
I mean, it triggers memories. It's an emotional thing, and it definitely adds to the soundtrack of your visit. You know, I mean, people have an expectation that they're going to enjoy that when they're in our city, and we're fortunate that we can deliver on that promise. And we're going to keep highlighting and elevating that. We're very proud of the people that make New Orleans a music city, and have worked really hard to try to elevate each and every one of those individuals and create opportunity for them going forward.
And Caesars hasn't, you know, created a relationship with Live Nation here. They have the Fillmore.
Right.
Once these renovations are done in this facility, you'll be able to enter the Fillmore from within the facility, as opposed to what's been going on thus far, where you have to enter from Canal Street. But I know with a lot of the events coming up in the city, they're going to have major, major talent that's going to be performing there.
Oh, yeah. I've started to hear about some of that. And, I mean, the events that they'll have throughout the rest of the year, and then, of course, leading up to the Super Bowl, I mean, they're going to be amazing. You know, I mean, they're just going to – it's incredible. And I think it is a game changer to be able to enter from in here. You know, I mean, it makes it a little bit more like that – that Vegas-type experience where you're sort of able to enter a great venue from inside. And that's going to be great for Caesars. I think it's great to have it for the city. You know, I mean, the Fillmore is an important asset.
A city this size, you don't typically see these kind of venues, right?
Right. I mean, you want as many venues as you can that are of varying sizes.
Yeah.
Because you don't want to miss out on any concert that's coming through, right? Whatever the scope of that is, if it's 1,500 and an intimate setting, then you want that. If it's 10,000, then you want that. You've got the Smoothie King Center for that. I actually think there's probably a place in between there where another venue could fit maybe 5,000 and would have a real niche where we'd pick up on some additional talent that maybe we're just not hitting right now because we don't necessarily have the right venue, but you want all those
things. Because the Sanger's what, about 3,200?
Yeah, so you've got great variation, and I think there's, if I was going to say anything, I think there's that 5,000 to 7,500 range where something coming online would really, would hit a spot that we're missing right now and create more opportunity for people. But, I mean, we've got, we do have the benefit of a lot of venues, and if we didn't, frankly, we wouldn't have the Super Bowl.
Right.
You know, I mean, there are a lot of things that allow you to get the Super Bowl, but you've got to be able to host hundreds of corporate sponsors and events and things happening all over the place. And there are times where that can be challenging for a city our size, but you've got to have those things. If you don't, then it gets bigger than you.
Right.
And so far, we continue to be big enough and deliver on the experience enough to be a major competitor. But everybody else is engaged in that competition, too, and they continue to add. And we need to also.
Punching above our weight, as you say.
Yep. Keep training. Keep getting better. Keep getting stronger.
Lean and mean, right?
Yep.
Walt Leger, President and CEO of New Orleans & Company, thank you so much for joining us today. Thank you for coming out.
Absolutely.
Live.
I'm glad we got to be together. This is great.
This has been a long time. We haven't done that, and we really appreciate it. Have a great week.
Thank you. You too.
We'll be right back, folks. We're broadcasting live from Caesars right outside the Octavia Lounge. And a little later, we're going to talk about the significance of the name Octavia and why it was chosen here at Caesars. We'll be right back. Stay with us. Folks, if you hear a little bit of the construction going on, it's because we are directly adjacent to the new grand entrance to Caesars. And it's going on right behind a screen right behind us. So we apologize for that. But we do not want to be an impediment to progress here by any stretch of the imagination. The Michael Heck joins us when we return.
I'm John Aran, Puck's sports correspondent. And I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.